analyst Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday where we take time and answer questions that you sent in. And we have a lot to cover today, Angel. So
yes, we do. Let's jump right in. All right, Joe. It's so hard to develop good friendships these days. With social media, it's like we are acquaintances. How do I develop deep relationships?
Well, let me say it this way. In your whole life, this is me. This is me. In your whole life, you may have two, maybe three good friends. The Bible says a friend is somebody who will die for you, not get you killed. A friend's rare. It's just so rare. You look up all the scripture about friendship. A true friend is a rare thing to find. When you get one, take care of them, honor them, be there when they need you. So the way to get one is to sow seed. You got to learn how to be a friend before you're ever going to have one. You got to learn how to be friendly. So best thing I'd ever recommend is get your Bible and concordance and look up all the scriptures in Proverbs alone with the word friend or friendly. And know how to show yourself friendly. What does a friend do? What does a friend say? How does a friend act? So you got to learn how to be one before you're going to have one. So learn how to be friendly, and then you'll attract them. Then you can select on your own.
Well, I have a lot of friends, and I think I have more than two, by the way.
She has a boatload.
But the thing is years ago, when I started traveling on the road and I would meet people, I just started doing something. My kids even say, you keep in touch with people better than anybody I know.
That's a fact.
If somebody comes to my mind, I pick up the phone and call them and talk to them. I believe it's for a reason. So I may not talk to you all the time, but if something's going on, I have a friend that calls me and goes, how do you always know? And I go, well, I don't, but the Holy Spirit knows. And so, you know, he's the one.
Well, just give you an example. Every day, about 4 years of marriage, Angel will talk to anywhere from 10 to 20 people a day that'll call her. And she'll call every now and then, but most of them people that are called relationships that she's established. And they'll ask her important questions. What do you think about this? What should I do about this? Because she's learned how to be a good listener. It's not just a talker. So you learn how to be one before you're going to have one.
Be a trusted listener.
Yes.
Meaning that I don't
repeat.
I don't just blab everything that I hear. And so I think that to have a lot of friends, you got to be a friend.
Yep.
And that's what Joe says. You know, there's times that I've moved to a town, I didn't know anybody, and I invited people out to lunch and it got crickets, you know. But one time I remember when I first moved to Spokane, I remember I was 19 years old. I'd never been on a plane, never been west of Nashville, and scared out in this foreign land, it felt like. And I was so lonely. And because I'd always been raised around my family. And so I remember praying one day, God, would you just send me a friend? Just really lonely. Well, you know, that God wants to give us our desires of our heart.
Yes.
And do you know that afternoon, never before or never since has this happened, but somebody knocked on my door and said, hey, I know you're new at our church. And I just wondered if you'd like to go to lunch. And to this day, we are still friends.
Yes.
Me and that girl. Matter of fact, her and her husband came and stayed with us not too long ago.
Yes.
But
that's called long-term relationships.
Yeah, I was 19 then. So I'm not going to tell you how long we've been friends now. But, you know, we've been through a whole lot together. And there's so many stories we could tell. But, you know, she reached out when I needed her the most.
Yes.
So sometimes if you maybe think, oh, somebody's in my heart, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should go to this. You know, maybe I should offer to take them to lunch or something. Try it. It may not work the first time, but it'll work. I promise you that. I promise you. A good friend is important to have.
Yes.
Because they're like iron sharpening iron. And so, first of all, I'd start with prayer. And then I'd start with my actions, because God doesn't move until we act. But if you act like a friend, God will bring you friends.
Friends are people who love you enough to tell you the truth.
Yes.
If you love me, please tell me the truth.
Mm-hmm. And you don't get offended.
Yes.
And you don't offend. So it's not hard to be a friend, but I understand. I've been in places where I've been alone.
Yeah.
But there's people there that are lonely, just like you are.
Be so, patient.
Yeah.
Start acting some.
Exactly. Joe, my job is not paying enough, and I just don't know what to do anymore. There's so much inflation, and times are tough. I want to provide for my wife and kids, but I feel like a failure.
Well, the devil's the accuser of the brethren, so there's no saying, you know, I grew up back when the industrial age was still around, so I knew I can't stay at this level of making money. I'm dropping babies like rainwater out of heaven. I need more money. Now, there's been times when I took a second job. There's one time we had three jobs. I know it's not going to be forever, but I'm trying to move up the food chain. And so when you start just praying, number one, God, I need opportunity. I need you to open the door. And you'll be surprised what'll happen. Maybe a phone call, might be at your current business. I remember when I was praying, I was working, we were going to school, got two minimum wage jobs, wife had two, we got two kids. And so I said, Lord, I need something to happen. And I remember I went home one day, had 30 minutes for lunch. I got mad at God, had my old Scofield Bible. I'd read a scripture about supplying all my need, and I'd throw it at the ceiling. We had that old sandy ceiling, and I shredded that Bible in 30 minutes. My wife came home, and there's shreds of Bible hanging in the ceiling. She said, what have you been doing? I've been talking to God. God says, put me in remembrance of my word. And I've just been reminding him what he promised. Well, 2 weeks later, the job I was working at, guy came and said, hey, we're going to start another shift. Would you like to be the supervisor of this new shift? He said, it will double your salary. Now, that wasn't much back then. I was making $380 an hour, and I'm going to make, you know, go up about seven something. But it was huge. And so I said, yes. And then Kimlon Chemical was down the road. I was working for them. They said, hey, can you do all these trucks need them? Can you do this by yourself? So, sure. So I got off at 5 o'clock. I'd walk down the road, took about 10 minutes to get down there, and I'd work till midnight. But they doubled my salary. So I'm working, like they said, like a dog, but I'm making money big time. Now, I didn't have time to spend it, but we didn't have enough. We didn't have where to go anyhow. We're in school. And so doors would open. They would. And then I remember when I got hired on my first church staff. Both companies were disappointed. You sure you can't stay with us, man? We'll up your salary. And they wanted me to stay because you got to be worth money where you're at. You don't gripe. You don't complain. You show up early. You stay a little later. You don't take a long lunch. Be valuable to them.
Yeah.
Make them cry when you leave, not throw a party. And so you always want to leave people better than you find them. It's biblical. So start working on that. Keep your attitude right. But look for open doors. God, you can't open me a door. You know what? I'm supposed to take care of my family. I need you to open a door. I'm not going to sit here and feel sorry for myself. I'm going to put my faith in you to open the right door. And I'll walk through it. I promise you I will.
The Bible talks about bringing the tithe to the storehouse. It says, test me in this.
Yeah.
You know, God, I bought my tithe to the storehouse. Your word says that you're going to supply. So, I mean, you just got to start speaking the word too. I mean, I'd put every financial scripture I could all over the house for increase, because you never know where it's going to come in. It never comes in where you think it is.
Never, never,
never,
never. I remember one time, because you got to tell God, you got to put in remembrance of his word. God, I'm a tither. I'm a tither. You said you'd rebuke the devourer for my sake. I'm a tither. And I'm going to shove it up your nose every time I talk to you. I'm a tither. You promised I'd be redeemed from the curse. And so I remember one time, the one company I was working for that second shift, they gave us a free turkey for Christmas. And so guy showed up late that night, and I hadn't punched out yet. It's about 11:30 at night. Hey, Joe, we got some leftover turkeys. You want them? Listen, we're just barely putting meat on the table. I said, sure. So I go home with these three huge turkeys. My wife said, we got to give two of them away. What do you mean give two of them away? We've got to sow some seed. You're kidding. So at 12:30 at night, it's right before Christmas. We're going to that little neighborhood we lived in. We're knocking on doors, trying to find people that we were going to Bible school with. Knocking on us, can I help you? Yeah, we got a free turkey. You want it? Yeah, man, we love it. So we blessed two families that night about 1 o'clock in the morning, some free turkeys. And buddy, we got a lot of thank yous out of that, but we sowed some good seed. We got a great job out of that thing. You got to sow some seed.
Yeah, you do. You do. Joe, we got remarried in our 40s and now navigating how to combine our lives together. Good luck.
Hey, write us. Tell us how it works out.
Any words of wisdom on how to handle dealing with stepchildren and ex-spouses?
As little as possible.
What do you mean dealing with them?
Well, let me say it this way. Verbally, I don't try to bring it up. My spouse died. Angel's still around. Call the other night on the phone late to ask a question. Doesn't bother me a bit. It doesn't, because I know he's still around. He's remarried, but he's still around. It's like, does that bother? Nope. I know how Angel feels about it. It's like, I don't even think about it, but it's there. He's not going anywhere. He'd probably be alive when Jesus comes. And I wish we've had a couple of meals with him. Like, what is that? Well, that's her ex-spouse. And this is now my spouse. And so you think, this is sort of odd, isn't it? Well, just make it work. You know, that marriage doesn't exist anymore. Our marriage is the one that's going on right now. So I want to be the best husband I can be, the best spouse I can be. And you got to learn how to, best friend, say you roll with the punches, because you never see hell coming. Hell does not make an appointment. Hey, I'm hell. I'm going to be at your house at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Hell doesn't let you know when it shows up. It shows up unexpectedly, but you got to be real slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath. Just be real patient. Angel's great at this. She's just real calm. And so when something's going on, she doesn't like, you can tell she gets kind of quiet. Quiet. Don't let your mouth run. And so you got ex-spouses. Talk as little with them as you can, because you now have another spouse. Some things are legal things, joint custody, might be some joint finance stuff. I don't know what it is you're dealing with. Keep it legal and legal only. Outside that, don't get gum flappy with the next spouse. Do you got anything to say about that?
I do. I mean, I think it's hard for people to understand, but, you know, I mean, I've been divorced for a long time, and it's like somebody I went to high school with. We have a history, but I don't know who he is today. He doesn't know who I am. We've gone on and we have separate lives, but we do still have children together.
Yes.
And because of that, I will always be respectful and courteous. Yes.
Angel's never said a bad word about her ex-spouse, even remotely.
No, I mean, I wouldn't want. I mean, somebody said to me one time that they thought, I guess, that I'd jump on the bandwagon and they're going, Angel, your ex-husband's going to die a slow and painful death. And I said, I hope not. And he looked at me really funny and I said, well, that's my children's father. Yep. Why would I wish that on him? I don't. Yep. I mean, I hope the best for him.
Yeah. Pray for him.
Yeah.
Bless him.
And so, we've had dinner. It means nothing to me. I mean, I heard Dr. Phil say years ago, you know, you're over it when they cannot trigger you emotionally. And he absolutely cannot. There's just nothing. I feel nothing. And I know that's a weird thing to get to that point, but it's a wonderful place.
It is a good place to be.
But so like when he called the other night, him and his wife both called and they had a question for me. And they had my son on the phone. They were asking a question to see if I could remember something, which I did. But it's just, you know, I mean, it's just part of life, our life. It sometimes I do think it's easier if a spouse passes away because it's so final.
It's much easier. Yes.
There's a reason God hates divorce because it never ends. But it's okay. You know, I mean, that's not the life I want. If it was, I would have stayed married.
Yes.
So this is where I want to be. So first of all, I think you have to establish that. And then I think you try to have as much grace as possible in dealing with an ex-spouse.
Don't give them any weapons.
No, Joe never deals with my ex-husband. I do. As far as that goes, I think your husband should deal with his ex-wife and you shouldn't have to. I mean, if she's inappropriate or anything, perhaps you need to do it together, but I don't know. That's going to be kind of sticky, but you're just going to have to come up with rules for your family to abide by.
Yes.
Because every family today, this is the way families look. They're blended.
Yeah.
There's no leave it to Cleaver family anymore. Yeah. Those days are gone.
They're gone.
And so, you know, but you can be the best blended family you can be for your children's sake, though. I really encourage you to have peace with the exes.
Yes.
Because your children are watching you and they're going to continue a pattern, and you want them to have a pattern of love.
Yes.
Guys, thank you so much for being with us today. We love our Mondays. We love do. Your questions. Keep sending them in. JoMcGeeMinistries.com. You guys have a wonderful week. We're praying for you. Love you.
Bless Bye-bye. You guys.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit JoeMcGee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.